Hi, welcome back to Undone and Uncensored. Today we're here with Nancy Bozick, who's a fifth degree black belt in Kenpo Karate, a Rumble Master Trainer, Cycle District Master Trainer, certified fitness trainer, and has an associate's degree in business management. But her most important role in life, or I should say, her most important role in my life is that she's my sister. So welcome, Nancy. I'm super happy to have you on the podcast. Also, this is the first time I've had a real life person, and I haven't been talking to a microphone like a crazy person trying to figure out what I'm going to say next. So I'm happy for two reasons. One, this topic is so important to me on so many different levels. And two, to invite my sister to come onto the podcast and talk about what she knows so much about. And she's really helped a lot of people. So welcome, Nancy.
Well, thank you, Leanne. It's nice to be here.
So what we want to talk about today is avoiding a potential attack or confrontation, basically self-defense. And I think Nancy comes from, I'm going to let you talk, let her talk to you more about her background, but in karate, in the format that she comes from, the goal is to avoid the fight, not get in the fight and win the fight, but to avoid the fight. So that's basically what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to let her go ahead and take over.
Okay. So, yeah, Kenpo Karate, first of all, let me tell you why I went to class. I actually was doing Tai Bo back when it was getting to be very popular, and Billy Blanks mentioned that, you know, a great follow-up to Tai Bo would be to take martial arts. And so money in the mail came, and I got this coupon to go, and lo and behold, the instructor happened to be one of my very good friends from high school's brother. I know she told me he was a black belt. I'm not sure that I retained that information, but anyway, I walked in, and there was Leanne went with me, her daughter Kelly, my son Jake, and my mom. We all went in together, and I'm the only one that kept going back, but that's okay.
I don't even remember this. How old were we?
I was 29 or 30, I think. So you were...
Oh, God. I have no excuse.
I don't want to age Leanne here.
She's older. Not by much. It's my favorite thing to say.
But anyway, I did go back, and I was petrified, but I stayed because what I found is I got lucky in the fact that Kenpo Karate is a science of motion. So actually, a child can defend themselves against somebody large because knowing how a body moves can allow you to avoid an attack or even stop an attack. And one of my first instructors was, I think he was 10 years old, and he was amazing. And so it made me want to keep going and keep learning more about it. And one of the things is that when I, you know, listening to Leanne's podcast, she'll know that our background is interesting, to say the very least. We went to a lot of different schools. She was the one to have me talk to everybody. And the more schools we went to, the more shy I was. I did not want to make new friends all the time. They had to approach me. So that's where I was at. And that's where I didn't want to stay. And as things happened in our lives, I got angry, and I really wanted an outlet for that.
And I would say that we were victims at a fairly young age, whether it was the things going on in our, some of the dynamics of our grandparents and or on our dad's side, and then in our own home. The anger was justified. There was things going on that just wasn't right, and I didn't really know how to process it as anger. But I think I said before in another podcast that now I use anger as a catalyst to catapult me forward into something. And if I get angry enough about something, sometimes that's exactly what I need to have underneath of it to put the work in to get it done. Side note, I have the cutest little Westie that loves to talk, and Nancy's over here, and we've tried to pet him and get him to shut the fuck up for about a half hour now, and he's just not going to do it. So I've closed him in a room, that he has his bed and hopefully he gets tired of barking. I don't see that happening. But Nancy told me to take him to a farm, which is super mean, but I'm not going to take him to a farm. I'm just kidding. He's going to be back there. Just, I'll figure out what to do with him before the next part. He's going to have to go on a long walk with a friend, next time, but try and ignore it and we'll get back on track here. Anyway, Nancy used her anger, I think, really to catapult herself into, not being a victim, which is what I want to talk about now, because of some of the things that I went through when I was younger. I had a victim mentality unknowingly. I was almost creating victimization to happen again, even at a young age. I'm not saying that it was my fault, but I'm saying because I had been a victim and hadn't processed it and didn't know how to process it, then inadvertently, I feel like I was putting myself in situations to be victimized in my adulthood. And actually, even as a child, I had repeat victimization come up. So let's get into it and talk about different things that you've done and how you're moving forward to help other women get out of the victimization mentality and or to prepare and be paying attention in a potential dangerous situation to avoid becoming a victim.
Okay. So I remember, first of all, there are a couple different kinds of people. Some of us are born, I don't want to say a victim, but let's use us for an example. I was very defensive, maybe not as a young child, but as I got older, if somebody said something nice to me, I would give them a dirty look because don't get in my space. Where you were more of a sweet person telling people, "Hi, my name's Leanne. Who are you?" And, you know, you didn't know anybody that was not your friend.
Do you think that that was our personalities, or do you think that that was created by what was going on in our lives when we were kids?
I don't know, because I've had people in our family say that I was the one that was very welcoming and that you were very quiet and didn't want anybody near you. So I'm not sure if they're mixing that up or if we did an about face.
I feel like if you even look back in pictures, because a lot of my life I remember through pictures, I feel like when I was really little, like there's that picture when I'm at a wedding where I'm like hiding behind someone because I'm scared. I feel like we kind of flip-flopped, because I know when we were in school and I was younger, I felt like you were more quiet and shy and I was more kind of out there and all over the place. But then in high school, there was a point in time when I got quieter and you were a cheerleader and had a ton of friends and had more. It was almost like we flip-flopped and continue to do that. I found that as an adult, there's a lot of things about your personality that used to drive me fucking crazy when we were kids. That one of the things that Nancy does that, just for our side note for this, besides the dog, just, you know, I can't do a podcast without a side note. If somebody's asking you to do something, you don't have to respond. And Nancy taught me that every time. I'm like, "Hey, Nan, what do you think about this idea? We could do A, B, C, and D, and E, and F, and G." And she looks at me and she goes, "I don't know. I need to think about it." It drives me crazy because I'm so spontaneous. And if somebody did that to me, I used to be a person who'd be like, "Yeah, or nah, I don't want to do it." But I would make the decision without thinking that through. And she has taught me to take the time to really think through something to see if I need to be making the commitment or not making the commitment. So, anyway, just go back to that. So I feel like, yeah, we kind of bounced around depending on, almost like feeding off of each other. Mm-hmm. If one of us needed one thing, we switched, but we were definitely always polar opposite, whatever was happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're 15 months apart, guys. And I was told to take care of Leanne, so she couldn't talk yet. And apparently I could. I don't know. If I look back at my grandkids right now, I'm like, "What in the world?" And my mom goes, "Gosh, dang, what were we thinking?" But up until our whoa, 30s. I mean, I felt like her mother too. And when she'd get mad, she'd call me that. But we've found a really good place where we can discuss things and talk about them. And, you know, we've just worked through all that. I'm no longer her mother.
So what I want to say about that real quick is that just because my mom's going to be listening, she's going to be like, oh my God, I think that was inadvertent. Like, you have an older sister and you're like, take care of your sister now. Okay. Watch out for her. And it's just things that people say without really realizing that child is going to take it to heart. And I know for Nancy and I was in my 20s, I want to say, probably late 20s. And oh no, I was probably older than that because we had the gym. So I had to be on, this worries me when I talk about really immature things that I used to do and I realize how old I was. So I had to have been in my mid to late 30s. And I went to Nancy with this big serious problem that I had. And she said, I can't fix this for you. And she was so upset. And I said back to her, I don't need you to fix it for me. I just need someone to talk to. And I didn't realize that because she had that messaging that she was my mother, that anytime I was trying to have a conversation with her, she in her brain felt like you do as a mother, like you have to fix this problem for someone. So when we were able to communicate through that, it completely changed our relationship.
Yeah, because, for sure.
Now I preface with, I don't need you to fix this. I just need to bitch right now. I just need a sounding board. And she's like, oh, okay. And then I can do and say what, just about whatever. And she just laughs at me. So anyway, back on track.
Yes. Side note.
always the side notes. But you know, what would life be without side notes? There's lots of them.
Yes. And there's definitely a Nancy and Leanne dynamic that if you don't know us, you need to. So
yeah, we're really nice people.
Anyway, back to, you know, I was saying that I was defensive and she was not. And I've done self-defense classes at the gym. And I asked her for permission to use this, but Leanne cannot be choked. Just side note, if you choke
her. I don't think attacked in any way. I don't think it's just, I think that was the what we were practicing in that self-defense. But I would say any direct movement, even if I think I'm prepared for it and know what I'm going to do, my reaction is to freeze, which is what I did when I was being victimized as a child. Just completely checked out, numb, disassociated, and frozen. And it is still, sadly, I wish I could say something different about this, and it's definitely work I have to do. But I still am a freezer in a situation that would scare me. I have a tendency to completely just, it's almost like my brain just completely shuts off. And I know that that's a normal response. But what we want to talk about today is when that is you, that's not a safe place to be. Or Nancy is probably going to tell you right when I said that, she told me something different about that. So there are things that we do when we're in trouble, and they are, what are they? Freeze, flight, fight.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk about each of those and how you can use those to your benefit.
Well, before we even get there, I probably should preface with the fact that, you know, we are in control of our surroundings if we pay attention. And something really important, everybody in their life right now has a cell phone, right? And so, and I even find myself guilty of this. It doesn't matter what my rank is. I have to still pay attention as well.
It doesn't matter that you're a lethal weapon.
No, not if I'm not paying attention. but you know, if you're looking at your cell phone, you're walking and texting, you're, not paying attention to your surroundings. You put headphones in your ears, in both ears, and you can't hear what's happening around you. That is a really dangerous place to be. If you take those out, you pay attention, put your phone in your pocket until you get where you're going, you have a chance to maybe make eye contact with somebody to let them know that you're not a victim, that you are not the right choice to pick, or that you you can identify them later. All those things are very, very important to keep yourself safe. So I would say that one of the biggest misses for people is making sure you're not in a space or a place ahead of time.
Distraction, that you're not distracted.
Absolutely. So if I'm if I'm stubborn and I try to take everything to my car at one time, I don't have any free hands. They can't be lethal weapons if they're busy. I can use them to hit you. Whatever bags in my hand, I could use my phone. I could use whatever. But I have a better chance if I'm paying attention to something coming at me. And that is the same for all of us. So back to what I was talking about, when we tried to, I let people choke me to a degree to show them a move that will work. And when I grabbed her, she started crying, and it really, she didn't like it at all, which nobody does. But from right there, there's a place to work, and I call it the oh shit factor. When you have been in a place before, which is why we have self-defense, you can find a signpost of, oh, I've been here before, I know what to do. So one of the things I like to do in class is just find out what that oh shit is. For Leanne, she drops and she puts her hands up. For me, I step off to the side. I look like I'm in a fight. That's because I've been trained that way. But if your hands go up over your head, that's a wonderful place to be because you're protecting what? Your computer. Your computer is your brain, and she's protecting her brain when her hands go up over her head. From right there, she has a lot of options. And so I always like to find out what people's oh shit factor is. A lot of times, the first part of class is just talking about how not to be a victim to start with. And then after that, we start moving into some moves that make you, give you an option to do to defend yourself.
Well, yeah, it's like when I've taken self-defense before from you, and I remember going home at the time and being like, look at this move, like grab me here and then I'm going to do this. And you have a man grab you and they're hanging on tight, and all of a sudden the move doesn't work, which is the key. The oh shit factor is if you freeze or you stop or you get in a situation, you have to, that has to be second nature, and that's not going to be. So my oh shit factor, I might freeze for a second, but if I practice this long and hard enough, the oh shit's going to go to a thought process. How do you get out of this? What do you do next? So I can use that time where I freeze and pause as a chance to think, if I practice this enough, and how can I get out of this situation right now? Looking and seeing what my different options are. So
knowing that I can use that as a weapon. I can use that time. I can plan for the time if that's what my body's doing, and I can use it to come up with a plan of what I'm going to do next. Basically, it can be a gift to me if I know that that's what's going to happen. Right?
Absolutely. And then side note, something you said just a couple seconds ago about, having, when you get home, having somebody grab a hold of you that's really strong and not being able to do the technique. I was doing that and feeling really bad about it. My instructor said to me, you know why that won't work, right? And I said, because I'm not doing it right. And he said, no, because the person that you're doing it, who's, first of all, they're not a good dummy because they're holding you as tight as they can. Second of all, you love them, so you're not going to blast them as hard as you can. So in a lot of our techniques, we kick somebody in the groin, it's essentially a kill shot. Like, they could technically die if you do the technique correct. And that's a whole nother conversation that we have with people as to whether you're okay with that or not. But you definitely aren't going to do that to somebody that you love. And them holding you as tight as they can does not allow you to work through how somebody would actually move. So it takes both of you working together, which is why going to a martial arts school or to a self-defense class and being able to work through that is super important.
That makes so much sense. When you were talking about that, I was thinking of, like, I used to teach a bar class, and I could hold my leg up and to the side for a ridiculous amount of time. And people were always like, how are you doing that? And I was just like, oh, I know, I'm so strong. Until I go in it to take the class, and somebody holds their leg up and all of a sudden my leg doesn't have the same kind of power and strength because I was, as an instructor in front of a room, I'm utilizing adrenaline that I have, that I'm teaching people, so I'm not really thinking about what my leg is doing versus being a student and not having that adrenaline. And it, so I would equate that the same as you're trying to pretend be in an attack versus really having the adrenaline and the strength that you would have in a real attack. It feels like it's kind of the same process where you become stronger and everything gets a little more acute in your mind because you're dealing with those, you know, what is that called? Adrenaline. Mm-hmm. It's going through your brain and keeping you on your toes, basically.
Yes.
You're stronger than, you hear about people that lift a car when they have to off of someone and they couldn't normally do that. So yeah, that makes a lot of good sense.
So also there's, you know, there's something that I like to teach that every one of us has, and that is a filter in our brain called the reticular activating system. And it's the same reason why when you buy a new car, you think that everybody else has one. Never saw it before. But the minute you drive it off the lot, there's like the same car everywhere around you. It's a filter that tells us the things that are important to us. So if your safety is important to you, or if what you're wearing is important to you, it is something that will keep you safe, and it's God-given. It's in our brain, and it works every single time. We need to understand how it works, though, and we need to pay attention to the fact that it will allow us to see danger. One book that I really have heard Leanne talk about, I just reread it again for the third time, is A Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. I think that is a really important book to read. I don't agree with 100% everything he says, but I do agree with the majority. So getting more information is always in your best interest. Always.
So what would you say to someone that is really wanting to, you know, maybe they've been a victim before, maybe they're just living in fear? I know one thing that I started doing for myself, just real quick before you give us your feedback, but if I'm in, the thing that I'm doing differently is if it's night and I'm in a parking lot, let's say at the grocery store, and when I'm walking in, I notice that there's kind of a weird situation happening. Maybe somebody's sitting in their car or looking around, or just something feels off to me. When I go to leave, I ask the manager or the person checking me out if somebody could please walk me out to my car. And that is something that I would not have done before now, but I really believe, like, if I've noticed something that I'm concerned about, it's worthy of me asking for help and asking somebody to do something different. So going back to the gift of fear and your intuition, if you already know something feels weird in the parking lot, do not walk back out in the parking lot in the dark by yourself with your hands full of groceries. So just like common sense, things that we used to not do because we were embarrassed to ask someone to do that. If when we have around the parking in the gym, there's a back parking lot that's full when I pull in at 5:30 or 6:30 at night. And when I go to leave, there's one or two cars back there. We've never had an issue around that gym. But when I go to walk out that back door, I always, anybody that's in the gym working out, I will say, can you watch me walk to my car? And I remember one thing about that I want to just come back to with the gift of fear is they were talking about one of the things he was, what made me start doing this is he was talking about moms. We go into, like, let's say a Target, because it's easy to, their uniforms are khakis and red shirts. We maybe walk into a Target and our parents are telling us, do not talk to strangers. Do not talk to anyone. So if we get separated from our parent or the person, our guardian, whoever's taking care of us, we are going to stand super afraid, super still, not wanting to talk to anybody and not knowing who to talk to, which basically makes us a victim. If there is a perpetrator in that target, I've just become his perfect victim because I'm too afraid. Whereas if I walked in the store with my child and said, I'm here with you. If we get separated from each other, do you see the mommies, all the people who are mommies that have red shirts on and khaki pants? You're going to talk to one of them. So if they do get separated and you point them out what they look like, there is not a person that works at Target that if you walked up to them and asked them for help, they're going to perpetrate you. You're going to make that good decision. It's just the way life works. If your child knows who to talk to and what to do, they're walking with purpose, looking for the person to talk to that's going to help them get with their mommy again. So that was kind of the point for me where I was like, okay, that makes sense. So we've been patterned a certain way to teach ourselves certain things. It's okay to stop and ask for help. It's okay to say, this is what you do if you get separated, not the thing that's going to put you in trouble if you do get separated, basically.
Absolutely. One more thing that I wanted to talk about that I think is really important is that I learned a life lesson in self-defense when I think we were in junior high visiting a friend's house, and they had a big English sheepdog, and it seemed to be a very nice dog, but when we were in the kitchen, I'm sure it was feeling territorial, but it came up to me and growled. And I told it to knock it off and get away from me, and it did. And then, not too much longer after that, Leanne went into the kitchen, and being the person that she is, she's sweet, and she reaches down to pet the dog, and it bites her. And very horribly, she could have died from that dog bite. But one thing that I learned over the years is that when something happens to me, it's important that I say something. I didn't tell anybody. I felt safe because I handled it. But what happened is my sister then went in there and got bit by this dog. And it was very horrible, and I felt horrible about it. It's not my fault, but it ended up being a huge life lesson that if you see something, say something. I don't know that I could have kept her safe. Probably, maybe if I had said something, and I try not to carry that for the rest of my life. It's just a learning life lesson that I think that we all need to remember is if something doesn't feel right to you and you handle it, it's a good idea to talk about it to somebody else just so that it doesn't happen to somebody else.
Well, and in the situation with a dog bite, there was also, had I been taught just a few things that now I know, and it's like a duh, I was eye level. I was sitting on the ground and eye level with the dog. So inadvertently, I was probably staring at the dog in his eyes, which again, I'm not taking accountability for the dog deciding to bite me. I'm just saying if we move forward, and this is the gift of fear and what Nancy's talking about, if you're willing to look at a time that you were a victim, what were the different things that if you had known them, you wouldn't have been a victim anymore? That's how we're going to keep ourselves from being re-victimized. So inadvertently being at ground level, looking the dog in the eyes, petting him on the head, I was making eye contact, and he was able to bite me in the face. So it was a mixture of a dog that had something going on that wasn't normal for it because it wasn't an aggressive dog versus me not knowing enough about dogs. But again, Nancy brings up a good point. We do this in the gym. I might be, that fucking dog is driving me nuts. I might be in the gym, and Nancy and I both, I feel like my girls, Nancy, we just have really good intuition, and it always surprises me. I've had a couple of times where somebody will say, friends with somebody or working out with somebody, and Nancy will say, that person really is not, something's wrong with that person. I don't trust that person. 5 years ago, I wouldn't have paid attention to her. Now I hear her say that. It doesn't matter if I'm getting an intuitive hit or not. It's over. It's not a person to confide with. We do that with some of the men in the gym. If something doesn't feel right and I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not okay with that. We honor each other's feelings and trust each other's intuition because you're not always, I mean, we would like to get ourselves to the place where we're always feeling that, but learn who your people are and learn to trust their intuition, because even if I didn't feel it in that moment, if my sister does, it's valid, it's true, and I need to pay attention to it. So I'm glad you brought that up, because it is important. If you're around somebody that's making you feel uncomfortable, it's okay to go to somebody else that might be around that person by themselves and say, hey, I know this may not be fair. I don't know why I'm feeling this way, but I'm feeling uncomfortable, and I know you're going to be in a similar situation. I just wanted to give you a heads up. There's nothing wrong with that.
I agree with all that. And I also think that the one most important thing that you could take away today is that you need to decide right now, if someone were to attack you, who's going home? And I would hope that would be you, that you're willing to do whatever it takes for whatever reason. Find your why, whether it be for you, for your children, for your husband, for your animals. I don't care what it is. If you decide you're going home, then you are going home at all costs. Doesn't matter. You will fight until you do. I think that that is the most important thing to remember, that it is your safety first. So to bring back all this together, bring it around, you need to make sure that you're not distracted, that you pay attention to your intuition, that if you're able to, that you get hands-on training. If you're in the Prescott Tri-City area, we will be doing a self-defense class or a series of classes at Anytime Fitness, and we'll let you know when that is soon. If you're not, find a hands-on self-defense class. And my suggestion would be that it not just be for 4 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours, but that you go back and you try and you do things and you cement them into your mind, and that you know that you're going home and that you know you have the tools and with which to do so.
We could also do a run to Nancy. Like if you're going to go to the grocery store, you want to leave a weapon. You don't want to carry a gun because you're too scared of them, which no. is me. You just rent Nancy. I don't know how much would you charge an hour. No. I'm just teasing her. I'm always, we go on walks a lot and I'm scared to death of dogs and still to this day. And the minute I'm like, as Nancy's here, it's okay. It doesn't matter. She'll take care of me. So her idea that she had to take care of me, I know I try and give her a break on that, but I still depend on her to be my lethal weapon if I ever need one. I want to have Nancy back on. I think you guys probably have questions. You may have even been in situations where you were victimized or avoided victimization. I would love those peer questions. Write to me, www.undoneanduncensored.com. There's a place that you can subscribe for the podcast, but it also has a note area that you can write, and we'll have her back on. And there's so much information that we can do around this topic and keeping ourselves safe, and little changes like the things Nancy was talking about, walking into Target, saying things differently to our children, where we're setting up a different set of circumstances than our parents grew up and we grew up in. Thank you so much for being here, Nancy. Thank you for being on the podcast, everyone, and listening. I appreciate all your support. I've had, if you've listened to my podcast, there's been a few disjointed ones, and I'm still learning, and I've just gotten so much positivity, and I really appreciate it. Again, this is something that I've always dreamed of doing, and I have a lot of learning curves here, but I just really appreciate the support from everybody. Thanks again, Nancy, for being on.
Thank you.